So thankful for the opportunities that we have and the privileges that we have to be called your sons and your daughters. We thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed for the remission of sin. We thank you, Father, for calling our apostle and anointing him with a very rare anointing. We thank you for apostles, these governmental gifts. We thank you, the apostle and the prophet, the first to be instituted, the last to be restored. We thank you that government is coming back to the church and that we all will function in divine alignment. And we thank you for the precious Holy Spirit, because without him orchestrating everything, it cannot be done. So Holy Spirit, we depend upon you, solely upon you. Engulf our mind, engulf our thoughts in Jesus' name. Cause these students to receive tonight what you would have them to receive, both here and online and Roku. We bless you for it. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us go to number three on the power gifts. Number three. I don't like rushing through this because it's very important to understand that the manifestation of the Spirit, all of these nine manifestations of the Spirit, shows God's functioning in the earth realm. All right? And God is a Nike God. He just do it. You understand that? You know, talk is cheap. How many of y'all know God is result oriented? So in the power gifts, under number three, it says power gifts reveal the word of God to the what? To the people of God. Power gifts reveal the word of God to the people of God. Y'all see that in your books? Huh? 1 John 3:8. He that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. Now that word destroy got to be examined carefully, because when the Bible say that he might destroy the works of the enemy, we still see the work of the enemy going on in the earth realm. We still see the work of the enemy even attacking and coming against people in the church. But the Bible says that for this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy. That means make inoperative, cancel it out over your life. Are you with me? That's why Jesus was made manifest. And once again, keep this in your heart. Keep this in your thinking. Everything that Jesus did, he was functioning by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? I said he was functioning by the Holy Spirit. So he functioned freely in all nine manifestations of the Spirit. It said the works of God empowers us as believers to fulfill the purpose of God in our lives. God outworks his plans, his purposes, and causes all things contrary to his desires to yield until it is conformed to his will. Y'all got it? Okay. Now, the power gifts allow the working of God in the believers to be clearly seen. The power gifts. Remember Paul speaking to the church at Corinth? Say, when I came unto you, I didn't come to you with the excellence of speech. I didn't come unto you with enticing words of man's wisdom. But I came in demonstration of the Spirit. I came in demonstration of the Spirit. Remember in Romans chapter 1, Paul said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift unto you, to the end that you may be established." This is what these gifts are about. Impartation and manifesting God, demonstrating. Power gifts demonstrate. They manifest. They make people look. Let's face it. You would need no marketing strategy when the power gifts are in manifestation. Come on, somebody get out the wheelchair. Somebody gets raised from the dead. Come on. Cancer is healed without a doctor taking a scalpel and having to cut the person open. Come on, blinded eyes open. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? See, those are what I call God's calling card. Why did so many people be drawn to Jesus' ministry? Because of what Nicodemus said. Remember what Nicodemus said, the ruler that came to Jesus by night? He said, no man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him. And so the multitudes flocked to Jesus because of the miracles that they saw him demonstrate on people. And I believe that that is why God at this hour is bringing back apostles and prophets in their full flow, because that's where that governmental anointing sweeps and takes over and causes everything to be conformed to God's will. Are you with me? Goes on to say, the works of God reveal the manifested presence of God. The manifested, it reminds me of, there was a place where the Bible say, and the presence of the Lord was there to heal them. Pharisees were gathered. Sadducees were gathered. Teachers of the law was gathered. And the Bible said, and the presence of God was there to heal them, even though they were resisting God's word. Y'all with me? The power gifts will ultimately reveal the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember in Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, when Jesus sent them out? Huh? Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they cast out devils. In my name they speak with new tongues. In my name, if they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall. And so the Bible says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming his word with signs following. Y'all remember in Acts chapter 4, when Peter and them went after they wrought that mighty miracle in Acts chapter 3 by raising that man who was crippled at the gate called the Beautiful Gate. And you remember he went into the temple leaping and praising God. Then Peter and them had to answer. They had to answer. What happened to this man? And Peter said, don't look on us. It's not our own holiness that caused this man to be raised from the dead. Be it known unto you that Jesus that you crucified, he ain't dead. He's alive. You won't know how you know he's alive? This man here is witness to the fact that he's not dead. Y'all listening? And then after they began to tell him, now y'all can't teach in that name, can't do nothing in that name, they went and prayed. And you remember what they prayed? Lord, stretch forth your hand to heal and do signs and wonders by the name of your holy child Jesus. None of that can be accomplished without the power gifts and manifestation. So, as we sum up chapter number 2, God wants us to say the things he wants to say. That's through vocal gifts, through prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Amen. Remember, it's important. You just don't want to, speak in an unknown tongue. Your greatest desire should be 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Why? Because he that speaketh in an unknown tongue only edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the entire body. Are you with me? So, vocal gifts say the things that God wants to say. Revelational gifts, they reveal the things to us that God wants us to know. Are you with me? And then the power gifts, they do the things that God wants to be done. Now, I'm about to make a very important statement, so you know what that means, right? You're going to see that again. The 9 gifts are our earthly inheritance. The 9 gifts are our earthly inheritance. We should desire spiritual gifts. I don't see that enough in the church. Well, we're coveting, pursuing, and pressing. How many of y'all remember 1 Corinthians 12:7? One of your meditation scriptures. But the manifestation, of the Spirit is given to every man to do what? To profit withal. Desire spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:31. Desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts. We need to keep all of this in our hearts. Are you with me? See, if you don't have a desire for nothing, God can't do it. Y'all remember Luke 16, the Bible says, concerning the beggar and the rich man, the beggar desired the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. What in the world is a child of God doing underneath the table getting crumbs? When Jesus said the healing bread belonged to the children, you're supposed to be at the table. The 23rd Psalm say, what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then he say, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. But remember, the Bible says the beggar was desiring to eat crumbs. If that's all you're going to desire is crumbs, maybe that's all you're going to have. God wants us to desire the best. Now, here's another thing I'm going to mention to you. Spiritual gifts are not achieved. They are received. You don't reach some spiritual plateau. You spend time and get intimate with the Holy Ghost. Remember, I started off this class by telling you the Corinthian church was the most carnal church in the world. Carnal, full of carnality. Paul told them, I can't feed y'all with meat. Y'all still on pablum. Yet that same Bible say they came behind in no spiritual gift. I think those things are worth repeating. Chapter number 3. The concept of Old Testament prophecy. The concept of Old Testament prophecy. Prophetic messages is both the word of the prophet and it is the words of the Lord. Prophetic messages is both the words of the who? The prophet and the words of the Lord. Y'all want to know why this is so exciting? Because there are times God is speaking and you take such ownership of it and you start talking to people and they say, who you think you God? And you know what you won't tell them? Yes. I know some of y'all have a problem with that. I felt it. You have a problem with that. But the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says, though he came in the form of a servant, he didn't think it was what? Robbery. Robbery. He didn't think he was taking nothing away from God to call himself equal with God. And Paul said, let this mind be in you. And the church won't go there. The church won't go there. Why? Because they won't allow these gifts to flow. You start flowing in these gifts, they'll do exactly to you what they did with Peter and them and Paul and them. They would bow down to them like they were gods. They had to say, nope, we just men. Understand, we know we're not God, but we can function as God in the earth realm. And we don't ever get it twisted because we are supposed to be bringing glory to him because we are his. Y'all with me? Now, there are two Hebrew words which are used to describe the function of prophecy. Two Hebrew words. One describes human activity, and the other one describes divine activity. That is because the word of the Lord is divine, but it needs cooperation from those of us who are in the earth realm. Are you with me? Now, we have some scriptures. 2 Kings 17:13 and 2 Kings 21:10, which illustrates how that many times the word of the Lord and the prophet say he's speaking it, just like it's God speaking it. Yet the Lord testified against Israel. This is 2 Kings 17:3, King James Version. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all of the prophets and by all of the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent to you, and which I sent to you by what? By my servants, the prophets. Now, we don't have time to go all these scriptures, but you remember when God told Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Y'all remember that? And y'all remember Moses did not want to go to Pharaoh because he told God, he started looking at himself. Now watch this. This was one of the most educated men in Israel, because Moses from a baby was raised up in Pharaoh's house. All these people talking about Moses had a speech impediment and all that foolishness. Moses was an educated man. He received the best education because he was reared by Pharaoh's daughter. But yet, on the inside, he knew he was a Hebrew. And remember when that Egyptian messed with that Hebrew came out of him. Come on, talk to me. Y'all know. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all know, I don't use that in here. We can't go there. But you know, you don't want that to come out you, because they say you acting like one. All right? Y'all know. But yet, he fled. And then God met him and said, I'm sending you back. Now, I want you to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Now, Moses said, man, I can't do this. God said, listen, I'm not looking for no eloquent speaker. I'm looking for somebody I can put words in their mouth, and they just going to say what I told them to say. Can you do that? Oh, no, no, get my brother. He's charismatic. He speaks better than I do. I want you to pay close attention to what I'm about to say. You're sitting up here, but you don't see it coming. See, the word of the Lord is both the word of the prophet and the word of God. So God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Since you, he was angry with him. But God said, I got to keep on moving. Get Aaron. And this is how we're going to do this. Exodus chapter 3. You read it. I don't have time to read all that. He said, this is what I'm going to do. Moses, I'm going to put words in your mouth. And I want you to take the words that I put in your mouth and speak them to Aaron. Now watch this. Moses was God's prophet. And so when God would speak to Moses, God was saying, it's me speaking to the people. But since you don't want to do it that way, we just have to do it this way. Now, the words that I take and put in your mouth, you put them in Aaron's mouth. And that way, listen to what I'm about to say, you will be a God to Aaron, and Aaron will be your prophet. I don't think you get no clearer than that. That when God speaks to a man, money cometh is the words of God given to our apostle. And when you resist money cometh, you basically telling God, come on, talk to me. I don't receive your words. Okay. Keep on moving, Reverend. The two Hebrew words are Naba. Number one, N-A-B-A, it's in your book. See, because under the Old Testament, these two Hebrew words show human activity and divine activity. Naba means to bubble up, to gush forth, or to pour forth. This Hebrew word reflects the influence of the Holy Spirit upon the human personality and spirit until the message bubbles up or gushes forth and pours out of the prophet's lips like a mighty river. It bubbles up and it gushes forth. It bubbles up and it gushes forth. That should remind you of somebody. Jeremiah couldn't get away from it. Jeremiah said, oh my goodness, it's like fire. Shut up. That's how God wants his word to be to all of us. You listening to me? Burning on the inside. So that when it's being articulated, people aren't praying. That's what I love about Apostle Comfort. I don't care where he go. He say, my inadequacies, I'm a fumble and stumble. And he do exactly what he say. But somewhere along the line, Clark Kent turns into Superman. I promise you. And I've seen him go into some of the most hardest atmosphere. Just give him a minute. Give him a minute, because when it hit, there's no resisting. Are you with me? Because the word of the Lord that comes through him begins to flow like a mighty river. You with me? The anointed message stirs the heart of the man, causing his heart to what? Respond towards God. To express God's feelings, to express God's thoughts, and to express God's word. That's what it means. You become so one with the word that you can express God's thoughts, God's feelings, and his word. The prophet's message is seen as the human activity and response to God's anointed word that comes to stir the prophet's heart. Y'all heard that? The prophetic message is seen as the human activity and the response to God's anointed word that comes to stir the prophet's heart. The psalmist said, the entrance to thy word brings light, healing power, and also be accompanied by physical manifestation. Now, the second Hebrew word is natif, N-A-T-A-F. It means to drop. It means to fall as drops of rain. This Hebrew word, natif, N-A-T-A-F, reflects the prophetic message as a direct result of divine activity coming from God, the source of all life. This is important, children. Now, let me tell you why I say that. Because we have too many people today arguing. The Bible was written by a man. No man can write this. Hell, if a man wrote this, cannot say something, he's stupid. Why would a man write something killing itself? Now, you a man, how would you have written? You wrote, you want one wife? Oh, now y'all don't want to keep it real. I know they're going to they don't want to show their colors. I mean, now everybody's speaking in tongues and saved. But you know, come on, somebody. No, you. I know you wouldn't want to be limited. And maybe some of the girls, too. I don't know. You understand what I'm trying to say? I'm talking about if a man wrote this, a natural man wrote this, he just killed himself. Everything he wanted to do, he wrote he couldn't do. You understand that? So ain't no natural man wrote this. How would you have wrote, given it shall be given unto you? Hell no, taken it shall be given unto you. Look at y'all. I'm not trying to be funny. Ain't no man wrote this. Give. I'm broke. I need some money. Give nothing. What you got? I believe y'all alone. Now listen, I'm just being real with you. The Bible says holy men of God began to speak as the Holy Ghost came upon them. This ain't no novel. This ain't nothing somebody came out of somebody's intellect. This was God speaking to man. And God made it so real and so raw that he allowed people to say stuff that he didn't say so he could keep it real. That's why people come at the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hello, somebody. Job said that, not God. God ain't Jehovah taking new. I'm just trying to help you. God is not, listen to me. God is not the giver of life and the taker of life, either one or the other. Nowhere in the Bible is God a murderer. He's the giver of life. And so when he sent apostles and prophets, we're to bring heaven to earth. And the message of heaven to earth is that God gave us the right to live an abundant life. And he's sick and tired of his children living like paupers. So that's why he sent this school and put this apostolic anointing upon this man of God. So all of us can go out and change the paradigm that's out here, like God done forgot about his children. You halfway out of your mind think God don't want us to live the best life. And then while I'm here, let me go ahead and say this. You never appear before a prophet empty-handed. I keep saying that till you get a vision. Now, let's see if I can get back to the lesson. The Hebrew word reflects the prophetic message as a direct result of divine activity coming from God, who is the source of life. Divine activity sets the motion for human activity. Divine activity sets the motion for human activity. Y'all with me? Now, prophecy is not a product of human deduction or reasoning, but one that starts out within the heart and the mind of God. So that it reflects divine activity or divine influence, whereas Nava reflects human activity, which is responding to divine activity. Are you with me? We should be responding to what God wants versus asking God to respond to what we want. Y'all not talking. Most people trying to control God. The process of Old Testament prophecy. 1 Samuel 9:9. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, "Come, let us go to the seer, for he that is now called a prophet was before called a seer." So those words are used synonymously, but they reflect two different things that God is trying to get over to you. Okay? Now, man was both called a seer and a prophet. There are two Old Testament words, roah, R-O-E-H, and chozeh, C-H-O-Z-E-H. Both mean seer and are synonyms for the word prophet. Now, this is important because the word seer is descriptive of the receptive function. You know, Moses wanted all of God's people to be prophets. God wants all of us to see. Y'all kind of quiet. The word seer is descriptive of the receptive function. It refers to man's ability, make sure you're checking that time, refers to man's ability to see into the spirit world, the spirit realm, to hear and to receive God's message. This word also is distinctive feature. This distinctive feature, the ability to hear from God, the ability to receive God's word, causes this man not to be common. When you're in contact with God, baby, somebody know it. Y'all got it? He has access into the spirit realm. He has access into the realm of the spirit to tap into revelation knowledge and the unfolding of God's plans, God's purposes, and God's pursuit. Are you with me? This is talking about the seer now. Receptivity, the receptive function. You with me? Now, the word prophet is descriptive of the communicative function. See? Communicative function. This is the ability to communicate what God is saying or wants to say to his people. The end result of good communication is clarity and wisdom. The ability to administrate the word is clearly seen in the function of the prophet. And only after the word is properly delivered can God hold hearers responsible and accountable. God can work directly on those to whom the word has been given. Now, this is why prophecy is so important, y'all. Because prophecy, we don't have time to be playing with people, "God gave me a word for you." You understand, when you tell somebody, God gave you a word for them, that you are saying, what I'm telling you is what God said. Do you understand how dangerous that is for you to go around telling people something that God did not say? So we got to get rid of this loosey-goosey prophesying in the church to be seen. Prophecy is a divine utterance that comes from the heart of God to change the course of his people. And I cannot be real. All these people who don't like to own up, when God tell you something, baby, proof and evidence is written therein. You want to know if money coming real? Look at the results. You have any doubt that God gave those two prophetic and apostolic words to this prophet and apostle of God who's in this place? Look at the results. Look at the results. Evidence, proof. So don't listen to the resistors. They'll get in your heart and cause you not to receive words that God sent to bless you. Are you with me? If you're going to be a part of this school, then you have to take these words to heart. These words are real. And I can say it because they have an impact on my life. And if you receive them, they'll have an impact on your life. Next week, we'll look at New Testament prophecy. When is exam? It'll be all the material that was taught after exam one. And hopefully we'll get through chapter 3. Okay? And we will always send out a study guide. So your best information for any test is the study guide. Y'all got it? And we're not making tests easy. I decided not to be saying it's only going to come from quizzes and everything, because that might make you a lazy student. I want you to grasp the principles that's being taught. Amen? Any more questions? Okay. Y'all have a great night.